Are you ready for the Low Blows Network?
Mathis, and welcome to another episode of the Jellyfield Donut Podcast.
Yoo-hoo!
So we are on episode 9, and we're several cans in. I don't know if it'll show or not. I'm sure it will at some point. Your old friends Jonathan, James, and Burkwell joining you for this one.
Woo!
Exclusively-ish on the Low Blows Network.
This is just on the ish.
Ish. But yes, thank you for joining us again for this podcast, and we are on to episode 9. Of our Indigo League rewatch, if you can call it that. And you may have enjoyed our episode last time out where we went full filler. And you'd be happy to know we are still full filler, lads. I am happy to call this the filler or filler.
This is absolute filler.
Yes, 100% filler donut.
Like, can you lift it out of the series and miss absolutely nothing?
I genuinely think this episode doesn't matter in any way at all. Like some, like you say, are nice little tangents. Like some of the band episodes are funny. This one literally means nothing. Yeah.
So you get backstory for Jesse and James.
Yeah, that's something at least.
No, it's not.
But even then, like, don't they rewrite that backstory anyway?
Oh, all the time.
All the time. So, all the time. Like, they're complete bluffers, like, you know?
Like, Jesse was somehow in this Tory school and was also so poor that she couldn't have a doll as a kid.
Yeah. But they paid all the money for the tuition, like. You know? Either that or their parent did some dark shit to get her into fucking school.
It's a hard knock life for her.
She did promise.
Take a drink every time you hear that during this episode, folks.
It's a hard life to fucking watch this episode.
It's a hard life for you to keep trying to put that into the episode, isn't it? To try and wedge
the episode's name?
Well, funny you should mention that, James. The episode is called The School of...
Hard Knocks.
Life.
And it's about a Pokemon training school, basically. Okay. If you played the game, you would have seen the Pokemon school in Viridian City, but in this universe, it's between Cerulean and Viridian, and it's a big fucking like boarding school full of Tory bastards.
So, just very quickly with this, you know, in the actual games, if you're playing the yellow version,
yes,
when you're going from Cerulean down to Viridian,
yes,
there is a trainer with a Sandshrew who's fairly tough to beat.
Indeed.
There is a girl, and that was probably the reference to the AJ trainer. Yes. There is two school children around that same route.
That's right,
just south of the Saffron City end.
Yeah, lads in a school and a school or something like that. Yeah.
So that might be the reference in from like a here's what it was in the TV show now that it's been like, brought into the game.
Yeah, like really scaled down. Like it's just like a tip of the hat type
deal. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I suppose the
game is just like tip of the hats.
More or less, yeah. I mean, it's the closest you'd get outside of the hack we were talking about, Ashway, to like an actual blow-by-blow account of the series. So, Anyway, so we'll start off then with our rundown, and our episode begins with a kind of a foggy morning, let's say, as Misty reminds Ash that he won't leave him alone until the bike situation is resolved. I'm glad that's the first line of the episode, because like...
It's just reminding you how they came together.
Yeah, exactly. They were bound together by fate and the overexcited Pikachu.
Yeah.
But
do you think Pikachu did that on purpose to try and get Misty's attention?
Because
he obviously prefers...
He hated Ash at the time.
And he obviously prefers Misty as well.
So you think Pikachu had this kind of weird Machiavellian plot to destroy something of Misty's to keep her around?
Around, yeah. It's like, this kid is seriously troubled. He needs a minder. This girl has obviously those maternal instincts to look after someone.
Mm-hmm.
Gonna get them.
Because she's fishing.
Yeah.
So.
I see what you did there.
There you go.
Yeah. Okay, right. Is there something to this?
And he is, like, the plot point of them getting together.
Mm.
No.
Okay.
Let's keep watching and see.
Do you know what? Let's let that simmer for a little bit.
We'll come back to that in a couple of episodes.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Stew on it for a while. So, Brock tries to be the voice of reason here while Pikachu kind of like waves around going like, I'm here too.
Yeah.
And we get our title screen. So it was the coldest open you can get.
Yeah.
It's just like, hey, remember that we're together for a reason? No. Brock goes, I am here for no reason. And Pikachu goes, I'm also here. Solid start to the episode, lads. Yeah. If that doesn't tell you filler, I don't know what does.
It just keeps getting better.
It really does. So we get this kind of like, again, some weird like random scenes here where Brock basically like puts up a dinner table out of his backpack. He's got some 100% cerulean coffee. I'm not sure
what that's what he was doing whenever he left Ash, whenever Ash was at the gym.
Yes, he was brewing.
He was off coffee tasting.
He was there like just going to each cafe. The real fucking hipster going,
my secret shame.
Eating coffee beans. Like, hum, hum, hum.
Just there.
Is this Pokemon food?
Too bitter.
nothing is a good day like a good cup of tea. So you get some prune juice for the kids because obviously the coffee is far too strong for Ash. Because Jesus, like Ash is hyper enough. You don't want to give him fucking coffee.
Yeah.
And he's also brought his good tea set, which has like Pokemon on the sides, which I think is very cute.
Yeah,
you know
they should market that. Like if that's not a thing already,
like there are posh fans of Pokemon, right? Like you could sell a tea set.
And
to
now with the new
Galar region, perfect time for a Poltegeist set.
Yeah,
Poltegeist, because that's the name of it.
Yeah,
yes, that's what I said.
Yeah, you didn't emphasize it enough.
No, I was being subtle about it. Like,
no,
you didn't have
it's
the
not subtle. Part. I'm too drunk for subtle.
just remember that, viewers, for later on. Too drunk to be subtle. That's something. He also has a bottle of Mount Moon mineral water. I think he's just recapping the places he's been.
Yeah.
It's just like, here's something from this place and this place and this place. Are you paying attention?
Rock, here's some rock juice.
Yes. I brought some good stones to play with. Let's throw them on Ash's head. That'll be funny.
Yep.
So Brock also then mentions French crepes, which is a nice little, actual shock horror, a reference to the real world.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Obviously he meant Kalos crepes. But,
like, he should have just said, like, rock scones.
He should have, but
scones.
Scones.
Do I have to...
Scones.
Do we have to talk live on podcast? Scones.
Scones.
Scones. Hit him.
He's not from the Stone Town.
Thank you. Well, I'm glad you're the one to say it to him because he doesn't listen to me anymore.
You don't have enough badges to train me.
Badges are bzzz, as you would fucking call it, apparently. So
quality content.
It's filler, lads. We're just going to bicker amongst ourselves. So we get a mention of French crepes, and Misty apparently loves crepes, and she gets kind of weird mental image of her like eating them outside some form of Parisian like area.
This is just running in place.
Wasn't it weird? Like, because like this is the most ladylike Misty would ever look.
Yeah,
and like
to be fair, crepes are class.
They are, but like
to be. Although on the other hand, France.
Yeah, I do hate France.
Mm. So there's a trade-off there, lads. You know,
which is why I don't think I'll ever get her to play X and Y. She'll not go to Kalos.
No.
This isn't where we get to see the famous jelly-filled donut, though, is it?
No. It is not.
Oh,
no. No, it's a few episodes up, I'm afraid.
This is, like, the ideal time to showcase it, though.
You think so, but here we are.
Yeah.
No. No, they have to leave that particular one for another filler episode that will need that.
Yeah.
This one is
not
already...
filler episode?
This one is... Yeah, exactly. Like, you have to be filled
something.
Yeah, that's true. That is actually true. But, I mean, this episode is already packed full of content. Like, you can't just throw in a joke like that just out of nowhere, you know? Like, save it for the refs.
Yeah.
Save your strength, lads, you know? As we were saying, like, Missy tries to have this kind of weird romantic daydream where she's eating, like, crepes in Paris. And then suddenly there's, like, Ash just chewing in the background. And it's just, like, this weird, like, mauve background where he's just drinking, like, tea from, like, a shitty glass.
Yeah.
And just kneeling down like a decrepit old Japanese man. It's very Japanese humour overall, like.
Yeah,
and
loud chewing is horrible.
It is, though.
Yeah.
We can all agree on that, like. Why are you staring at James when he's saying...
No reason.
All right. I'm glad I pointed that out in the podcast, because otherwise I'd have lost some people.
Yeah.
Yes. So Misty then...
What did I do?
You chewed loudly.
Scones.
Scones.
Shut up. What? How's it feel being wrong, James?
I'm not.
It's just how he always is.
I know. It's sad, really. I hope he gets better. So Missy bonks him on the head with a log, because that's the best way to deal with loud chewing. You might want to write that down so Brock explains he needed a fire to cook, and Missy volunteers to stay, which I thought was very good, because she's a girl and she can't lift things, as what's already been established.
Yeah.
Or she was just hoping that Ash goes in search of the firewood and then gets lost and dies forever.
But if that's the case, then she doesn't get anything for the bike.
Murder, bike, I don't know.
They're both equal in your eyes. Yeah. Says a lot about your psychology. So Ash goes to search for firewood.
I'm sure she'd be able to sell
literally
the corpse.
Calling out for the firewood.
You sell the corpse.
Missy could let him die, sell the corpse, and get at least the price of a bike.
I'm going to have to check.
Oh, Professor Oak would definitely take her up on that.
Yeah.
Oh, this will do good for my research. Don't ask about my research. GRAMPS. It all makes sense. Ash wanders around calling out for firewood. After a spell, he stops and notices a light in the fog.
Yeah.
And it turns out it's a schoolboy running on a treadmill, surrounded by students all holding candles. Trust me, lads, it's not a cult. They're just Tories. Tories love candles.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We've established this. Like, if you ever see it...
They're not even scented.
No, they're traditional candles.
Not even Litwicks.
No. Not even Litwicks. Well, they weren't discovered back then. They could have been Litwicks and no one noticed, to be fair. But,
imagine. It's like, don't move. They will notice.
Day 47 in Kanto. They have still not noticed my blinking eyes. I get the feeling these people are stupid. I hope to see another day. Please don't blow me out.
They have not realised their flame has not melted any wax.
these people are really, really stupid. Someone running on a treadmill. He's getting quizzed on Pokemon with like cards, basically. He's like, "What's this Pokemon?"
Flash cards and stuff. Yeah.
Basically, yeah. He's getting top trumped here, and two boys with like really fucking ludicrous hair. Like, this is clearly like these are supposed to be the cool kids, and they all have like cool, interesting hair.
Yeah.
So they're kind of like, it's like some sort of protagonist school, I guess. Like,
yeah.
You know, they have to get their hair.
They all get their own anime.
Oh no, they have narrow eyes, so they're the bad guys.
Yes, that's
ludicrous
true.
Ludicrous hair, but narrow eyes. So
yeah, good spot. Good spot.
Yeah.
I don't know if the school intended that though, or that's just happened by design.
No, that's
if they're squinting because the only light they have is by Litwick, then you know they're gonna have bad eyesight and they're gonna have to squint to see well.
Yeah, in fairness, like Litwicks are a big deal. Like, not only are they letting off like fumes, they're letting off ghosts as well. So that's going to hurt your eyes, like, the smoke everywhere, like. They keep grilling him on the Pidgeys, like, what's his moves, his evolutions, like, what's his favourite food. There's, like, one walks to the beach, like, keep answering. And as it does, then he can't answer the question and falls off the treadmill, basically. So essentially it is, like, seeing if you learn, it's basically mastermind for athletes is the whole gift just here.
What was that show that... you had you had your quiz, you had to answer questions, and then you had to do like an active thing out and like
The Krypton Factor. Yes,
Krypton Factor. For
that
Pokemon.
Was a hilarious show because
I don't think I've ever seen it.
It is a product of its time, my friend, because like it's full of like stuffy like people who are like big proper bookworms. You can see like women who like have these massive Deirdre Barrow fucking glasses. And they're
experts on whatever, you know, type of quiz, like all your general knowledge pub quiz stuff. Like, they will fly it. But you also have to be good at the athletic side.
Oh, God, no.
And that's the funny part, because...
You have to do this, like, obstacle course.
Mm.
And it's, like, somewhere in the middle of England. And it's, like, always shitty weather, so it's always slippy.
Yes. It's not even that, though. But you're putting these, like, massive nerds in, like, the shittiest, like, velour tracksuits. Like, you know, like Crystal Maze. Maze like had the get up right, and they look like decent. They look like fucking like they're on Babylon 5 or something.
Yeah,
this is not the case on Krypton Factor. They did not have the budget for good tracksuits. You got shitty colors, you got shitty material, and you still had to wear your fucking Deirdre Barrow glasses because you can't see shit, Captain.
Oh no!
You have to go and at least watch one episode.
Yeah,
that's
our plan. Like that's our plan for after this podcast.
It's like mid-80s, and you're thinking like, how the fuck did this happen? Who signed off on this? Who thought this was a good idea to get like Sheila the bookworm and Steve the quantity surveyor to do jumping jacks?
I'm guessing this is Channel 4 quality.
BBC.
Is it BBC?
BBC, yeah. It's a BBC show.
That sounds so below BBC standards.
You'd be surprised what BBC sign off on, my friend. Have you seen Top of the Pops?
So, basically this is Krypton Factor for Pokemon.
Yes.
So, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, exactly. And, actually, that's a good question. What Pokemon would do good on Krypton Factor? Ooh, that's a tough one. Ooh. Who's the best all-rounder? Ooh. Well, that's one for the fucking... That's one for our listeners. You can deal with that. I think it'd be Lucario.
Oh, we're going beyond...
We're sticking to Gen 1. Right.
Yeah.
Scyther,
yeah. Scyther would have it nailed down.
Meowth, because he could actually talk and answer the question.
That's true.
You're only going bipedal on the sounds of it, so...
Well, the obstacle course... would require some sort of like swinging through stuff. Mankey
wouldn't be intelligent enough to do puzzles.
Yeah.
Arcanine is a good boy.
He's a good boy, but is he good at spatial awareness?
What is his gem? I would say maybe Ivysaur.
Kadabra.
He just levitates through everything.
Yeah, perfect. There's no rule against it. There's no rule against it. You know.
Vileplume.
I can't see Vileplume climbing a net. Just gonna throw that out there. That's we're gonna veto that
then
one.
Jigglypuff. Just float over everything.
He could maybe. I don't know.
Seymour.
Yeah, Seymour's got it.
He's got the smarts because he's a scientist.
Ditto transforms into the perfect person for each round. Literally, you go for like Usain Bolt in the athletics round. You go for like astrophysicist in the general knowledge, and you go for like someone with like genius spatial awareness. He just transforms into the best person for each round. Fucking ditto, man. They ruin everything, honestly. Anyway, we should get back to doing the episode, shall we? Yeah, okay.
We have to talk about this.
Talk about the Krypton Factor. Tune into our next episode where we critique old game shows and see what they're like in 2020. We won't do that.
Do they hold up?
They did not. Watch one episode of Bullseye and you'll answer that fucking question.
I did recently watch one of those episodes. I was like, was it Challenge TV?
Yes.
With my dad, and there's only 5 questions asked in the entire game, practically. Yes. There's so much chit-chat in between all the fucking questions. Like, just answer me! Test my knowledge!
And you went like, well, you won £55 and a toaster. Did you have a lovely time? I did have a lovely time, thank you. So.
Who'd be the best darts playing Pokemon?
Oh, anyone with Sniper. Like, Seedra, Kingdra. Yeah. Artillery.
Beedrill.
Yeah.
Beedrill.
I'm going to have to say Seedra.
Seedra would be good. Like, you'd imagine just
going... Just put him into his nozzle.
Yeah. No, I think we got that sorted. So anyway, moving on.
What other Pokemon?
Takeshi's Castle.
Takeshi's Castle.
Oh.
Because you have to have a variety of... Agility things.
Scyther, yeah.
I'd say
he wouldn't be able to climb the net. He'd slice them open.
Oh, yeah, true, yeah. But then he doesn't need to then. If he slices them open.
Say Jolteon.
Ooh, Jolteon would be good.
Yeah. Could Jolteon Arcanine drive one of those
tanks?
The cars at
he
the
doesn't
end.
Need to be, he is the car. Arcanine would be a good show too. Like, yeah. Imagine him just like gliding off the stones. Like.
Imagine Arcanine climbing a net.
Yeah. No,
Mewtwo.
He'd actually take down Takeshi himself. He would kill him. He would snap his neck with his psychic powers.
Yeah.
Fuck that guy, right? Only 6 weird people won that show in its lifetime. It went for 12 years. Fuck that guy. Kill him.
Well, folks, thanks for...
Yeah, thanks for that. That was a great episode, I have to say. Let's catch up. Basically, what's happening here with this treadmill monarchy is that it's a training session for a particular student, and the boys are bullying him into like getting better. That's what's happening here. So Ash slides in along with Pikachu. They both do their like chat slide going into shots, and they go, "What are you doing? You're bullying him." And the kids go, "We know. That's the point." And then they have this back and forth going, like saying, "Like
this is just like the last episode.
It's
you're being mean. It's for his own good.
Yeah,
but it's mean,
and I don't like it. And I'm the main character, which means I know better than you."
Yep.
So essentially, like, they're Ash is told it's none of his business, obviously. and Ash basically calls the school standards low, which is a bit of a, like, dude, you don't know anything that's going on here. Like, you don't even know if this is school sanctioned. They're just wearing uniforms. Like, yeah. You don't know anything else.
It could just be a cult.
Yes. Curiously enough, Missy walks in and backs Ash up here, which is quite unusual, yeah. Given the circumstances. Yeah. Like, it's not normal. I think even Ash is surprised by this, but still doesn't want Missy's backup again established. Girls are smelly. You can't help. You can't trust them. And Missy goes, "Are you sure about that?" And
you're outnumbered, like 5-1.
And they start ganging up on him. It's like, actually, we're not going to gang up to you. We're not fighters. We're more bulliers. Yeah, exactly. And they just go like, the students don't battle because this isn't the Stone Age. They do their talking on either courtroom or somewhere nonsense like that. And if they waste their time on an insect battle, it'll make the tech look bad. Which is just...
I think it's funny because tech schools usually in Ireland have such a, like, the opposite kind of name to them. No posh boys go to the tech school.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like, the Irish equivalent, this is like Trinity boys here.
Yeah.
Or at a stretch UCD. Certain parts of UCD.
I know we might be making, jokes about that, but... Yeah. You look at the standard of a school that Ash would have gone to, which allowed him just to eat crayons all day, compared to a tech. Yes. So maybe these guys are actually posh nonsense compared to Ash's standard.
That's true. It is a story told from his perspective. So maybe it's all relative. Yeah, especially if you are like an uneducated brat like Ash. Literally everyone else looks smarter than you.
Like, this is a school that apparently doesn't have room for a treadmill indoors.
I choose to believe they just do nothing to mock the boy. Like, they're just there to just make an example out of him. Because as we find out, Brock recognizes them all as tech students.
Yeah.
Missy apparently knew about him because she had an old flyer just in her back pocket of her fucking Daisy Dukes.
As you do,
because you want to keep those are the things you want to keep hanging around. Like, you don't want food or water. No, you don't want a flyer for a school you never attend. Like, that's what you want.
Maybe her sisters went there.
Oh, that could explain a few things.
And then she's like resenting the fact that they got to go to this posh school.
Ah,
and she keeps it around as her motivation.
That's true. That's good. I like that. Let's lock that in. That is canon.
Also explains why they're such nonsense.
Yes. Yeah. Unfortunately. So the flyer is advertising this kind of school in the middle of nowhere. There is a close up of the flyer, and I love this. There's a school. The flyer is written out in Spanish.
Really?
But it's like, it's like blotched with like water or something. Yeah. Like, it's watermarked. It's kind of like melted that way, but you can still tell it's Spanish, and they just kind of blurt it out so like the English don't notice. It's kind of funny. Like, it's like, oh, let's just write this in like a language. It's like, do you want to pick one?
It's like in an episode of Buffy where they are looking through a spell book in Buffy, and they find an old Gaelic spell.
Yeah.
Where in fact it is Irish, but it's an Irish talking about a new bus route going in Dublin.
Oh, I've seen that. Yeah. I choose to believe it could be something similar here for Spanish. They just like picked random phrases, and it's just like, my nipples explode with delight or something like that.
Yeah.
It'd be good.
If anyone speaks Spanish and can read it and write it, please read the
Hop onto this episode. Yeah. I know you have no reason to trust us, but just do it. Just to entertain us. Yeah. It'd be great.
And even if you make it up, we won't know the difference.
Yes. You could literally tell us anything right now and we believe you.
Yeah.
So we get this. We get told it's a boarding school for serious Pokemon training. All the while, Brock is reading this flyer. Pikachu is distracted, presses the treadmill on, and walks on it. And he's doing good. He's got good form. And then Brock accidentally leans on the treadmill and speeds it up, and Pikachu gets flown off the treadmill.
There's way more slapstick with Pikachu in these filler episodes than I remember.
Same here. I didn't expect it. Like, I don't know why.
The Pikachu can't lift weights. Pikachu is on a treadmill. Mm. Or
Pikachu is doing cheerleading for the sanctuary.
Yes.
Or Pikachu has a romance story with a bottle of red sauce in one of the later episodes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Aww. Do you know what it is? I think they've realised...
It's like...
It is cute, though. It is.
So, is that our marker for it's a filler episode? If Pikachu...
Does something kawaii...
Ugh, awful word.
I don't know if I'm saying that right.
Kawaii. It's like Hawaii. It's like Hawaii with a K.
If Adam Miles was here, he could...
Yeah. Our boy. Anyway, but yeah, it's the thing about it was, is that like, it's, I choose to believe it's like they realised that Pikachu was a selling point of the show. Like, people want the Pikachu because it's so cute and hilarious and adorable. So get it to do cute and adorable things as if it's like a pet. Like, it's just like, oh, it's like a, it's like your resident Shiba that does wacky stuff, and you post videos of it online and everyone will laugh.
Yeah.
Like, this is what people would do if Pikachus were real. Pikachu would do something hilarious, like, you know, get its head stuck in a bottle of fucking milk or some crazy nonsense like that. People would make it go viral. Yeah, exactly. So is that kind of like relatable? Like, everyone had a funny pet. Pikachu is that funny pet.
So
We get this. The boy is still here, by the way, after being like bullied by the other students. And as Pikachu knocks off the gets knocked off the treadmill, he kicks it and like gets like this stubbed toe, like, ah, oh, no, my foot. So that's just like pure like visual distraction from Brock's exposition that nobody is paying attention to.
Like, okay, we need to stretch out another 5 minutes to this episode.
Pretty much, yeah. So after all, after Brock reads out the spiel there, Misty concludes it's a posh private school. Ash gets fired up because he's a working class hero, naturally. So what happens then? The fog, he goes like, let's go and get this school.
This whole fog thing would actually play into this being Litwick, if they're ghosts and bringing like the spooky fog with them.
Ah, we see they have a weather system. They just bring in fog whenever they need to. They could very well have like Litwick's on command, just making fog if they want to. Because they say later on that they have like a snow system as well. So if you just like bring out the fucking ice creams like and start hailing.
This is how they prep you for battles. They're like, okay, we have the sunny day machine going.
Yes.
Okay, we have the rain machine going.
Which is good.
Yep.
It is good.
In fairness, it makes sense if you're smart.
You know, because you have to be ready for all elements, as they say.
Yep.
The fog clears and the school is literally like in front of them. They're in the courtyard, basically. And you get the timeline saying, fog system ends, next up, rain, or whatever the shit is. So the boy explains he'll be made of snowmen.
But, like, the rain could be just a load of pelipers flying over.
That's true, yeah. Just, like, they just, like, fly, oh, oh, that's, right,
pack. It's not even just a blast voice to have on site. Like, let the pelipers free!
Like white doves.
It's a blast voice they have on site. And they have it, okay, yeah. Okay, let it off. Okay, that'll be for the next 20 minutes.
I choose to believe, like, in the Pokemon universe, like, on football pitches, there's still a sprinkler system, but they just let on a blast size to go... Because, to be fair, that would really entertain the people.
A big, massive blast size, like, stomping out into the middle of the pitch.
Yes. I get paid for this.
Or also, like, at the beach, they just have, like, Squirtles sending off bubbles.
Yes. Send off bubbles. Well, they do that for West Ham, so that checks out.
Yeah.
And at like kind of the lower league pitches where they can't afford a blast size, they just have a slow poke going, damn. So like the pitches are shit because it's not doing anything.
That's what's happened to Tranmere.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. No, what's happened is it's waterlogged. It's like constant water. They got a Kyogre in and just like constant fucking torrential rain everywhere. Never dry.
Like shooting pelipers then. Like, get away, please! For the sake of our pitch.
We're getting relegated because of you bastards.
Thunderbolt! 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 It's still raining.
It will not stop raining.
Is this episode over yet?
No. We haven't even reached the first half, lads.
God.
So, to be fair, it's a very busy first half. So... the boy explains like he's getting bullied by the students, but he's also learning stuff at the same time. So he's learned everything about the Pidgey line and its evolutions. He rattles off nothing but facts about them, and he basically explains like he's letting on that he's a bit dumb, because if he doesn't, he'll get asked tougher questions.
That's
by the
same
students.
Problem Ash has.
No. The boy here is
what he wishes.
Yes.
And Misty and Brock are like, wait, is you know, oh, this explains Ash. Oh wait, no, it doesn't.
You see, Ash is like the Joe is the name of the boy, by the way. So Joe is like what is should be. Ash is what like little equivalent is. You know, it's that kind of like alternative. He basically lets on he doesn't want to answer tougher questions. He then like points to the upperclassman who's like a middle aged man under a tree, just like with like confused eyes for glasses. And basically, he's still in the beginner class because he's stupid.
Midlife crisis?
Ash, essentially.
No, it's Ash looking into his future.
Yes. You see, that's why he's under three. He doesn't meet his past self.
It's like Metapod evolves into a... damn it, I know this.
Venomoth.
Fuck!
It's like, so apparently, if you graduate from the school, because they do like badge equivalents.
Yeah.
So if you graduate from the school, you can go straight into the Pokemon League. No messing, no badges, just straight in.
Because so again, once we get to the Pokemon League, we'll see some of these tech students.
Basically, yeah. Like, oh, they'll just be full of posh boys.
But we don't.
No, we don't.
We don't.
No, because that's probably a reflection on how shit the school actually is. So the teachers apparently don't know anything about the middle-aged man. He's just purely anonymous. So Ash takes offense to, like, how, like, ignorant they are of their students. So he wants to meet the person in charge. And Joe shows a picture of the student, and it's, shockingly, a girl.
Dun, dun, dun!
And a very attractive girl at that, because Brock says the quote, "She can violate my rights."
Ooh.
She's a student. She's probably underage.
How's she in charge if she's...
I don't know, James. There's a lot of questions here.
Nothing makes sense in this episode.
I wanted to introduce a new segment whenever Brock does this called the Nonce Scale. On a scale of 1 to nonce, how noncey is this?
8.
8 is... That's strong. That's a strong start.
Yeah.
I was going to go 9.
Oh.
Burkba, you're the woman here, I believe. If you were to put a score to it, what's the non-scale for Brock here?
Yeah, no, this is 8.5.
8.5, right. Yeah. So on average, it was 8.5 anyway. Yeah. So yeah, we'll go with that then.
And I'm totally on Missy's side here.
Yes, indeed. So quite... But, yeah, Missy is obviously taking offence to everyone gushing over this girl.
Yeah.
She screams at Ash and Brock for fancying her, and she storms off towards the school, like literally stomping her way like fucking Godzilla.
Yeah.
Again,
exactly what you'd do.
Exactly. Yeah, in fairness, she would.
I think I've done that.
So we zoom out again to binoculars. Team Rocket are scoping at the tech. They apparently did study there. But
again, this is a trope that they have of, like, zoom out to binoculars.
Yes, and almost at the same point of the episode, too. Where, like, you got your establishment points, you got your plot point, here's Team Rocket.
Yeah.
At break.
Yeah.
It's bizarre, like. But again, it shows you how quickly they settled into a structure, I guess.
Yeah.
You know. But, yeah, they did study there, but they just got the lowest scores in the history of the school.
Mm-hmm.
They were that bad.
And your man under the tree is like, at least I'm not Jesse and James. At least I'm not Jesse and James. Metapod evolves into... Fuck!
Parasect! No! No, it's wrong again!
It's like that TV trope of them trying to study whatever subject it is. Mitosis is.
Yes.
Metapod is...
So you're basically saying that middle-aged guy is a walking episode of Community.
Yes.
He's all the characters. He's Pierce, he's Joel, he's everyone just wrapped into one guy.
Leonard,
yes.
Leonard.
Oh, yes, he's Leonard, yeah. Nailed on. So yeah, Meowth tries to like give them a pick-me-up here. And he's for some reason dressed like as a private detective on a harbour. I don't get it. It must be a Japanese joke. And he tells them the bright side is that they were at least the top of the bottom. And this like somehow cheers up Jesse and James, and they like squeeze him in a hug.
I mean, yeah, better be infamous if you can't be famous.
Yeah, I suppose. And then we get our first half of our episode ends with Misty realizing that they are worse than he thought, and he liked them better when they were nasty. Which I presume when they were battering around the place
in
the last few episodes.
I miss being domestically abused by them.
Yeah, I'm sure there's a condition there, but I just can't put my finger on it. Some sort of Helsinki syndrome.
It's written into my contract, I have to be attacked.
Yes. It's a living.
Yeah.
So, Burkba.
Yes.
We have an ad break.
We do.
Because we're on a network, we don't need ads.
Yeah.
So we have...
Who's that Pokemon?
Who's that Pokemon?
Who's that Pokemon?
Do-do-do. Oh,
hey.
It's really exciting, isn't it? I like that. Okay, so...
Now you see why I do it.
Yeah, no, that's fair. Okay, so what the current score is, you're actually leading Burkba at the minute by 13.
Yeah.
James on 11 and I'm on 10. So again, I've kind of gone from like winner to hero to zero already in these last few episodes, but that's the nature of the show, I guess.
It'll take us, I'd say, until about episode 20 before someone actually
storms the
race ahead.
Yeah, exactly. So Burkba, this is your twist. Who have you got for us?
I was going to say the name. No.
Damn it. I was hoping to get a drunk enough she'd say it. Fuck.
Seymour.
Oh. No. Okay, so I am taking this Pokedex entry from Y.
Okay. Ooh, interesting.
Okay. Very protective of its sprawling territorial area. This Pokemon will fiercely peck at any intruder.
Okay.
I've got two choices here.
Since you're on a lower in the score, you get first.
Yeah. I'm really torn here, lads. I'm not going to lie. Because, like, if it's not this one, it's the other one. So I'm going to go with Spearow.
Okay.
So, definitely a bird. I'm trying to think. Will Spearow and Pharaoh in the X and Y decks?
Yeah, see, that's what's swaying me, because I think it was.
Oh, I can't remember. That was a big controversy at the time. Was there's no Rattata anymore. You know what? Yeah, I'm going to go Pharaoh.
Ooh, this is interesting.
Okay. Dun dun dun! You're both wrong.
Oh, okay. Oh, okay.
So give us a bit more info.
Yes.
Okay, well, I'm not going to go to Dex in entry.
Go with Bellabies or something like that.
Yeah, I'm going to go with something that. I don't want to. I'm trying to find something that wouldn't give it away because some of the things are.
Obvious.
Yeah. See, I was all prepared for my fucking sea draft. Okay, here's a trivia.
Go on.
This Pokemon, again, I was about to say its name, is the only Pokemon with a base stat total of 349.
Ooh, okay.
So it's weak enough.
It's weak enough for it might be a first stage.
Yeah. I'm gonna go with Doduo.
Okay.
See, my. See, I think Doduo is there around Azure Bay, is where it's found in that some way. Let's see. I'm keep jumping back to Pidgey and Pidgeotto because.
Yeah.
But. They're not really territorial.
No, they never really described as them, but you never know, with the dex entries could change and retcon and stuff like that as well.
Gonna go Pidgeotto then?
He got it.
Oh, oh wow, well done.
Holy hell.
Wow, that's a surprise, yeah.
I will say, I was gonna go with like Aerodactyl first, whenever it's like, okay, what would be territorial?
Interesting.
And then seeing the base stat total, I was like, yeah, no. Aerodactyl is not that is not that low.
Yeah. So yeah, well good job, James. You've slightly lead again.
That was third clue.
Was it third clue?
Second clue,
yeah.
Oh, I picked out my third clue, sorry.
You expected us to get it wrong, that's what it was. Yeah. So yeah, James, so the scores as
I
it stands now.
Ahead, but
yeah.
I was drawn with Birkbot.
That's right, yeah.
Grand, okay.
So, yeah, that's how it stands now. So, James, you're on 15, Burpa's on 13, and I'm on 10. So,
good
stuff. So, second half then kicks off with an elevator. Open up to a room of what kind of looks like kind of like arcade machines, like kind of like those old style computers. Joe explains then that about how the school and the girl is called Giselle and how they work. So, Ash shows off his badges, and basically Joe says, yeah, that doesn't mean shit, man. They're based like that's like at a beginner's level.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
It's basic.
Yeah.
Basic.
Yep. He is well. I could use a lot of words to describe Ash, but basic is certainly up there.
Yeah.
So Giselle is apparently on the tree badges level. So again, nice little kind of tying into like you know Vermilion City's coming up. Get ready. So Missy takes offense to her potentially being beaten. Joe sits at the table and simulates a battle between Missy Starmie, because again Joe knows, oh, you're a water type guy, right? Yeah, cool. And Missy has a weaving bell.
And this basically Pokemon. Explains the whole Pokemon game series.
Yes, more or less, doesn't it?
More or less, because they learn how to battle on these sim machines, which is basically the way that we would have played on it as well.
True.
Where the argument that Joe makes is, oh well, that works in theory, but in reality you never know what the terrain of the battle is going to be, so Butterfree can fall into the water and then he's useless.
Yeah, exactly. So, like, this takes it out of the context of like where you kind of where you're surrounding it. Like, it does take the reality out of the battle.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, that's exactly what happened. So we do get like a very similar like vibe to the Pokemon games, and according to simulation, Weavinbell would win outright with like a one hit kill.
Yeah,
yeah.
Which is not, well, again, we'll delve into it in a bit, but basically say like Misty reminds, yeah, like that's simulation, but real life is another deal altogether.
Yeah.
So Team Rocket is climbing up a tree to see what's going on, and it looks like Misty and Joe are about to have a battle. Misty calls out Starmie, and Joe calls out Weavinbell. And Starmie knocks out Weavinbell with one water gun, just completely knocks it out of the park straight away. And so it's like, yeah, like simulations and real lives are completely different things. So the reason why that happened is explained by Giselle, who has walked in and explained that Starmie is more experienced, and Joe is completely embarrassed at school by rocking up with a type stronger than Starmie. How dare he?
Yeah.
How dare he indeed? So Ash and Brock are obviously starstruck by Giselle, as Misty is.
Girl!
Yeah, pretty much like, oh god. And like Missy's just getting some fantastic side eye. She's even got like the black outline around the face, so she knows she's snapping. And she'd be glad to give him some stars, as she says. So Giselle introduces herself, saying it's sad that people are not blessed with their beauty, talent, and humble attitude. Which makes her high.
Ironic.
Yeah, exactly. High on the list of people I push down the stairs, really. Because just the last one just seems to just really bother me for some reason. People call her a star, but she's just Giselle, which is like a proper influencer's fucking tagline, isn't it?
Oh yeah, she's definitely an insta-hun.
Yes, exactly. Who is more conceited than literally anything else in the world. Which Team Rocket does agree with as well. She even says like, she's more conceited than they are. which is fair. James obviously thinks she's cute because he's a boy with a penis, and Meowth thinks he's cuter.
So when James said he wished he went straight a few episodes ago, that actually might have happened.
That could have actually happened. Yeah, he got one. He got one bomb to the head too many, and completely changed his sexuality. Or better yet, maybe the writing is just so inconsistent to say, okay, we're going to make James bi this week, and then he's going to be straight, and then he's gay. Let's just throw a dartboard; it's quicker. So basically, because Meowth thinks
he's
cute.
Did you have fun today? Ooh, yes.
I'm James. That's not what I was asking, lad. I was asking what the episode, what the capital of Colombia was. Which Team Rocket star would be best on Bullseye? Clearly. These are the questions we should be asking here on filler episodes. But yeah, like, so Meowth gets uppercoated out of the tree for sharing his opinion.
Yeah.
Goes blasting off again. So we might see him at the end of the episode. So Giselle wants to help her students and says that Joe is a weakling, warning if she has to get stronger and quicker or the students will turn their back on him. Like presumably the Leonard outside the fucking school, one would assume. So Misty intervenes at this stage and says that beauty is only skin deep. Giselle replies, jealousy isn't pretty either. I was like, oh shit, here we go. It's picking up.
We have two girls in this episode. What interactions? Oh, we'll make them fight.
Yeah, we'll make them fight. And like, again, for the time, you should be actually thankful it wasn't in a fucking pool of mud.
Yeah.
Because like, that was practically the tone around that time. So
yeah.
If anything, Pokemon was quite progressive in that regard. So Ash and Brock kind of like compare notes at this stage, going like, do you think she likes chocolates? No, she's more of a roses type guy. And Brock suggests to basically don't get involved in cat fights, as he calls them. Brock is definitely the he's a trouser
apologizer.
He's not even that, but he's probably that wanker who always wears trousers and brown shoes. And you know, every person knows one. Don't check yourself. You're fine. James now frantically thinking, have I ever worn brown shoes? Oh, shit, I have, but I've worn the combination before. Burkba has a face that might agree or disagree with my assessment. It essentially boils down to Giselle picking a fight with Misty. So she picks a ball from the shelf and like really like exuberantly throws it, like does the whole fucking kneeling and throwing and
the way like Yugi and Yu-Gi-Oh like places the card down, she like dramatically,
it's like the arm,
I choose you.
You've done that anytime we've played cards against each other.
Yeah, and
Just saying.
She's a girl, James.
I'm allowed to be dramatic.
And so is she.
I'm just giving the people listening some context.
Yeah. Because some people not watching this would not realise she's a woman. Right? Are you writing any of this stuff down, James? Like, I just feel like there's half of this stuff that's going over your head. Anyway, so the Pokemon that comes out is Graveler to face Starmie, which is an interesting choice,
yeah,
all things considered.
Yeah.
So Brock notices the type disadvantage. Yes, Boulder Boy, as we'll call him. But Giselle says it's evolving at a higher level, because obviously that makes sense. Yeah. Like, clearly, she's going to win. So we switch to the Battle Mode for the first time this episode. Not a very quick one. The Graveler starts with an attempt to stop. Starmie dodges. Starmie tries a water gun, which Graveler deflects away, and tackles Starmie right in the jewel, and Starmie is sent straight into the pool.
Yeah.
So, I don't need to really explain this. That shouldn't have happened.
No.
Well, no, she did say it's on a much higher level. So, you've thrown down, in this scenario, you've put down that Graveler's level 25, which would be the minimum.
Minimum, yes. Because the reason I say that is because, obviously, you've only seen Tackle is his only move, and he evolves at level 24. So, yeah. Or level 25, rather. So, he has at least level 25.
So, how many gym badge equivalents did this one have again?
3. So, if in a level range, you could argue it would be... Like, if what was 27, 30, I'd say. Because I think, like,
yeah.
Lieutenant Surge, if we're using as a comparison, was, like, that kind of region.
So, high 20s. Against a high teens
Starmie. But
Graveler could very easily have the win there.
I don't think so. I disagree. Like, okay, 10 levels is a massive jump. But one water gun, really bad special, and it's a quadruple weakness to water. Starmie has this all day, like, you know. Because now it has Water Gun. Like, we've established it now has that. So.
No, I'd still say level difference.
I don't think it'll be a one-hit wonder.
Mm.
Like, if it's just Tackle, Tackle's a weak enough.
Oh, yeah, no. If Graveler only has Tackle, then that wouldn't be enough. But,
yes, that's what we're thinking.
In an actual battle scenario...
Mm.
Graveler should have better moves than just that, and the high level alone would be enough to win it.
Potentially, yeah. Like, again, we are assuming there could be like a 10 level gap here, but yeah. I would still reckon, like, because like Starmie would have the speed advantage too, I should think. So like you'd be able to get the jump, use Water Gun, and even if it like doesn't kill Graveler off in the first attempt, it'll take a second. So I'd say Starmie would win.
Berkbot, your tiebreaker.
I think that I don't think it'd be a one hit wonder, but I do think Graveler could probably just ward off Starmie.
Okay, so we'll go for a Graveler win then, based off the level.
Yeah,
the level advantage,
but not in this method.
Yes,
yeah.
Different way. Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
If he had all of his was equipped with like a rock throw or a. Or a self-destruct, even. You have it, like,
yeah, self-destruct,
yeah.
Boom, done.
Yeah, done. Good night,
that
everybody.
Could be a one-hit wonder.
Sure, it certainly would be.
It worked up in Belfast.
Yep. It's Pewter City, I think is what we call it.
Yeah.
Whew, well, say hello to our Northern Irish listeners. I hope you enjoyed that one. Shout out to you guys, if you're still there. So, cut to the pool, and Missy is hugging Starmie. As Giselle suggests, she use another water Pokemon. Missy snaps to saying, oh, you'll probably pick another William Vita water and make an ass of me. And Giselle reminds her that, like, yeah, the Pokemon are only as strong as the trainer, which is such a harsh thing to say to a fucking gym leader. But, you know, private school, man, they fucking turn you to dicks, apparently. So Giselle explains this to Joe and talks about calculations and levels, and she just throws a whole lot of maths at him.
Yeah.
Basically.
Yeah. You know, because that's how Pokemon work.
Indeed.
Maths.
So Ash pipes in to say there's more to training than levels and calculations, and Giselle just, like, rips Ash to shreds here.
Oh, yeah.
Calls him a beginner after they get introduced, because Ash didn't even talk to her at this stage. So he's been a trainer for 2 months, and Giselle then kind of works back calculates to say the Pikachu still walks free, so it hasn't been tamed yet.
Yeah.
Maybe the Pokemon are training him, which is a very quite a witty remark, which is probably true. And obviously Ash is trying to defend himself, saying, no, I want to be friends with the Pokemon, not just to train them. And then Giselle goes, no, you're wrong here. Okay, so you've only got 3 Pokemon, you should have 6. Your Pikachu should be at level 25, should be able to do this, should be able to do that.
We know he's at it about 2 months now, isn't it?
Yes. So
we've actually been given a time frame for the first handful of episodes.
Yeah. So there's like a big jump between like Viridian Forest and this one.
Yeah.
So like, what was he doing in those 6 weeks?
Fighting all his children.
Yeah.
Fighting 10 trainers.
It was like a trainer per day, was it? Like,
yeah.
That's how long. Oh yeah, that's probably why it took so long then, because like he kept losing to the same trainers. He didn't count the losses. He said he had 10 wins.
Fucking Rattata. I'll get it. So, one of these days.
10 wins, 2 badges. How many losses? 75. So they're not good enough to train because they're hard to handle. That's what Giselle's argument is. Which is technically true, in a sense, because like if you're playing as Pikachu in the game and your first like battle is like against Brock, that's a tough pill to swallow, you know? And like I said, because like it can get bludgeoned fairly fucking easily, it's hard to get a tune out of it. So obviously Giselle is scoffing at Ash's ignorance, explains that Pikachu can evolve into Raichu, blah blah blah. Unevolved Pikachu makes a good pet for little girls, which Ash isn't.
Fight and talk,
yes. He's got Giselle keeps laughing at two, like they got two batches, despite knowing none of this, you know, like but not knowing anything about Pikachu. Again, very similar to the AJ situation where like they're just basically big dogging this stupid child.
Yeah.
And then trying to just like throw in shade at the gym leaders for giving them a free pass, basically.
So
really similar episode. So Giselle throws out another ball and out comes a Cubone. Which Aww. We I know. Such a little one. So the battle kicks off then with a Pikachu and Cubone stare down. Cubone starts off with Leer. And Pikachu is instructed by Ash to do something similar and stare it down to do a scary face, if you will. Which it does, technically. I don't know if you call it scary. But it happens anyway.
It's scary how little he knows about Pokemon
levels. Love it. So they stand off, basically, and Cubone takes initiative and just hits him with a bone club, like bunk. And this Pikachu goes, whoa. Again, really slapstick. I'm all for it, in fairness. And Ash says that's not fair. It's like, it's not fair. It's a Pokemon battle.
I
think that's about time you angry slapped.
I don't know if we might be at that stage later. So anyway, Giselle trash talks again, saying this is about skill and ability, not like it's not fair. So Cubone's instructed to use Boomerang, which hits Pikachu and knocks it out of the park. So Ash then is called a crying foul of the move Boomerang, saying it's a cheap trick. And Giselle says, it's a legal move. It's in the game. What do you want?
Right.
Yeah, she's spot on here. And Ash is checking up on Pikachu. Cubone hits another Boomerang, because obviously it comes back. And they sweep Pikachu away again. Ash is calling it a cheap trick again. Giselle says that's just showing your ignorance.
Ash makes Pikachu use a cheap trick.
Yes. Here's the thing. Playing dirty, because you can't do it right yourself.
Yeah.
So, Cubone tries another Boomerang, but Pikachu dodges and lands on Cubone, turning its skull so Cubone can't see. And it's going like, oh, where's my mommy? And like Pikachu then bites Cubone, then does a move that's similar to Fury Swipes, and then it mega kicks its head so the skull is spinning. At which point Cubone is knocked out by its bone, because the Boomerang has come back to him.
Yeah. Disoriented, so it can't catch it.
Exactly. Cubone withdraws then as it cries its little eyes out.
That's a cheap trick.
It is.
Ash should be sent to jail.
Well, you'll be happy to know, Bertbot, that I've done some research here, and Cubone is going to win, right? So Ash, approximately level 16, right? We know it knows Thundershock. It can't learn Bite. It can't learn Fury Swipes, and you need a TM for Mega Kick, which we are assuming he doesn't have.
Yeah.
Right? So Cubone is a ground type. It knows Boomerang, Bone Club, and Leer. And the reason I hone in on Boomerang in particular, because Cubone in the game learns that at level 43, which means that it is literally treble the levels of Pikachu.
Also get it by breeding.
Well, breeding wasn't a thing in Gen 1. So we can't use that little gambit. We could future gens, but by and large, like this is like by leveling, this is how Cubone gets it. Now, I don't know about you, but I think Cubone has got this match won.
Yeah, hands down.
Yeah, no question.
Yeah,
I like the idea that in the like cartoon that Pikachu sees, like he's after watching the the Sims battle out on, you know, these, you know, computers or whatever. Mm. And he's like, oh, I could do a fury swipe. I could do that. I can do that.
He's there, like, writing notes and no one's noticing. Like.
Yeah, and then, like, he goes to use it in the battle, but obviously it's so ineffective because he's not a Pokemon that can do that.
Yes.
It's like, you know, I kind of just imagine Pikachu trying to teach himself. He's like, this fucker is not going to teach me. I'm going to have to do this myself. So he's going around while everyone's been distracted by the other battles going on. He's going around going, bite. I've got teeth. I can do that. That's definite. Yeah, yeah. That's what's happened there.
That's good. To be fair, it's always that kind of metronome conundrum as well. Like, you know, whenever you have like a Snorlax and then suddenly you can do Razor Leaf. Like, where are you getting the leaves from?
How it definitely just stuck to his back from when he was sleeping.
That's it. It was like,
Metronome was actually just reaching out for what can you grab onto and
throw? What's the first thing you find in your layers of fat? Like, there, done. There.
Water gun is just a huge phlegm.
A bubble beam is him with indigestion. It's like, so yeah, we Giselle wins this battle hands down for us.
Yeah.
So, which is obviously it's bullshit seeing that Cubone lost, so Giselle comforts it, remarks it's never seen a Pikachu win without electricity, and trust me, it's a shock to us as well. Joe says that wasn't in the textbooks, as Misty pipes in to say it was a fluke, and yeah. Joe calls it a cool fluke. It's like, is it really, is it a cool fluke to basically
cheat
yeah, in manner of speaking. So Team Rocket are peeking behind the gates. Giselle is upset and gets interrupted by smoke.
Mm-hmm.
Not coughing smoke, just smoke generally. So he had smoke bombs as well. So Team Rocket do their motto, and Meowth lands in the pool to sign off the motto, which is kind of funny. It's a nice callback. Oh, he's still flying. Hilarious.
Lol.
If only, it's a good thing he landed there and not like 2 inches to the right, or else he'd have died.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I know cats land on their feet, but like he was up in the stratosphere for quite some time.
They also hate water.
That's true. Yeah.
Except my cat.
Yeah, that's because your cat's weird.
Cat thinks it's a dog.
Yeah, well, that's the cat's problem.
Yeah.
And I hope it gets the help it needs. So, Giselle has heard of Team Rocket and their terrible grade and suggests basically a team deathmatch where, like,
okay.
Team Rocket versus the school.
Yeah.
And they get battered by Pokeballs as they run off. Which is where we come in. Team Rocket were shit in this episode, so let's give them better ideas. What should Rocket do?
Try to catch the Pokeballs as they're getting thrown at them and just run away.
I like it. That's a good one. So, to set up the scene, Ash and Co are busy battling Giselle's Pokemon, which are Graveler and Cubone. First battle is inside, and the second is out by the pool. Pikachu is used in battle against Cubone. So just set up the scene there. There's two opportunities here to snatch Pikachu.
Yeah.
But as you said, like, you could just, like, have a bag to catch the balls that are being thrown at you, you know?
Yeah. But I would have, again, ignored the Pikachu and raided the school full of Pokeballs.
Like, there are shelves
that are fairly
full
unattended.
Of Pokeballs. Like, while everyone's getting distracted by the battle outside,
yes,
just sneak in and grab everything else.
They already know the layout of the school. They went
there.
Yeah,
that's true.
So that's my shout, is that while the second battle is ongoing, just sneak in the back.
Okay, yeah, that's fair. That's a good idea.
Big work.
I don't really have a strong one for this one because, like, again, you kind of have, like, two very decent ideas there. The only thing I can really think of is use the Meowth to your advantage here, right? You blast them off into space. Perhaps you might have intended this, right? And you basically, as he's landing, right, he's basically, now this is calculated, like, you'd have to nail this right proper. But because he's obviously able to land from a decent height without dying, perhaps he lands on Pikachu and takes it. And then you just basically run for the hills.
Just thought of another one there.
Okay.
That this is a school full of Tories who are notoriously...
Notoriously
greedy for money.
Yes!
Use Payday, distract them.
Oh, that's good.
Meowth doesn't know Payday.
He does know Payday.
He does.
He's never used it, and I made that a plot point at one stage.
Yes, Meowth does know Payday.
Well, you see that...
While he was flying through the air, he grabbed some chocolate coins.
From the air?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They live in the Mario.
It was raining chocolate coins.
Sonic.
Yeah.
No, they're raining.
But yeah, okay, so yeah, we've got that then. So yeah. I'd say, like, so we're thinking, like, some sort of, like, skydive, paratrooping Meowth. We have, Quintany.
No, my one is that while the battle's ongoing, yeah, sneak in.
Yes, and your one, James, is,
As they're getting pelted with balls.
Catch them. Yeah, put them in a bag and scarp them.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good. We got three different options there. I like the idea of just being prepared for, like, this barrage of balls with a bag.
Yeah.
Just like, haha, I knew you were going to be cunts, so off you pop. Oh, wait, the raw Rattata. Bollocks. Oh, well, it's Celebon.
I do like the idea of just simply breaking into the undefended school.
Yeah.
That would be good.
And, like,
maybe they could masquerade as students. They can get their old uniforms out. Because there is a Leonard on campus. Like, they could easily sneak in as mature students, you know?
And maybe he's just announced he doesn't want to leave the school of underage kids.
That is heavily implied, in fairness.
Maybe that's what the elder student was there for. He was just there in order to steal all the Pokemon.
And he was really shit at it. Like, he's just waiting for his time to strike.
No, that was all an act, just so that he could get everyone to lower their expectations.
He was wearing comedy loopy glasses. Yeah. Maybe it was a disguise all along.
Mm.
His plan was, I'm going to steal all the Pokemon from here.
Ooh.
I'll sign up as a terrible student. No one will suspect me.
To be fair, we don't know where he goes after this. So yeah, it's possible. Very possible.
Yeah.
So yeah, we've got two or three different shouts there, lads. So we'll see what wins in the poll this time. So our last scene then is Giselle kind of lapping by the pool, I guess. She says that some lessons you can't learn in school. So she's just completely changed her tone here now.
Yeah.
She is, the bitch curse has been lifted. She lost a match. And now suddenly she's a nice person.
To an imbecile.
To a complete spanner, yeah. Like, okay, granted, that would probably cool your courage if you lost to an actual dunce.
Yeah.
But even still, like, that's a 180 character.
Yeah.
Immediately. And then Joe goes, oh, I'm going to go back home. I hate this school. I'm going to become a Pokemon trainer for real. And the Giselle goes, that's a great idea. You should leave. And Joe says, is it okay if I keep your picture? And so Giselle goes, yeah, sure, I love having pictures of my friends too. I was like, wait, we're friends? Yes. Sorry, I thought this conversation was going elsewhere. Me too, I'm going to go now. So essentially, like, they shake hands. Ash tries to figure out why they can't be like that. I mean, as in her, him and Misty. And Misty goes, you fucking killed my bike. It's like, oh yeah. And then see him.
Yeah.
Basically. So
awful episode.
it's a tough one.
Like, I feel like it was just like, oh, we need to get in the types trope, and that, you know, that you can win a battle if your type is at a disadvantage.
Yeah, yeah. Strength by numbers, really. Like, if you have enough higher levels.
This could have happened in like 30 seconds in another episode. Like, this is just a load of balls.
Yeah.
I'd say it was someone saying, here, you just want to cool your jets. We have the order for like 50, 60 episodes right here. We have the order for 100 episodes. We're going to need to put filler in.
Yes.
Chuck it in here.
Yeah, it's every one of those episodes that doesn't really matter which order it came in with.
Yeah.
You know? At least with, like, you could argue with the next three we have coming up, which are fucking classics.
Oh,
like,
yeah. Woo! The next three are iconic ones.
Like,
yes.
Yeah, these are the ones that are like, oh.
These
like,
are the ones that there was a special VHS box set for. You know, here's
the sundry.
Here's the, like, Ash gets his team.
Yeah.
Box set of episodes.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
But no, I'd say there was some amount of planning to, and I'd say you'd be able to see this as well as we go through. There's going to be a stage where we just hit all the filler.
Yes.
We might get 10 filler episodes to one plot episode as we get on.
Yeah, definitely the mid to end of the series, you definitely see that.
So I'd say they didn't pace it.
Stagger
off.
It, yeah, definitely.
Or this is the start of it getting staggered.
Ooh. Don't say that, James. We have a lot of podcasts to do.
I don't... Like, this is probably one of the longest podcasts we're going to do for a filler episode, though.
Granted, we were talking about game shows for about half an hour of it.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm willing to give them that. Like, that's like... if we're going to do filler, let's fill the podcast itself. Like,
this podcast mostly filler.
So, we've got three new entries into the Pokédex, actually. The first one is Weeping Bell. Does anyone remember Leaping Bell?
He hasn't met a Bellsprout yet, has he?
He hasn't, no.
So just this Leaping is Bell. Just like, what the fuck is this yoke?
Yeah, it's just like, to be fair, like, Misty was battling it, and like, Ash is going, like, I have no idea what's going on. I'm still looking at Giselle.
No, James and Team Rocket have Weeping Bell? Could he have nicked it from the school on his way out?
Ooh, there's a theory.
They do get a picture bell. I think they do catch the picture bell, though.
No, there's no scene where you see James catch it. There's the episode where they have the better Team Rocket open up a daycare centre.
Yes.
And James says, oh, the Weeping Bell I left here actually evolved.
Oh. And
from that point on.
That makes sense.
I'm gonna make that canon.
Because the daycare centre is in Cerulean City, not too far away from where we'd be on the map.
How far are we from the
Vermilion, like halfway through?
No. How far are we from the good team that Bush and Cassidy get introduced?
Well, a little bit away, I think.
Yeah.
But even then, like, to get to Vermilion you need to go down the route which has the daycare centre.
Yeah. It's possible.
Yeah, I'm totally buying that.
And it is canon. So,
oh great, something canon actually happened from this episode. It's not filler, folks. It's not filler.
Add it to the list, lads. So yeah,
shocker! Just at the end of the podcast,
that's been
surprised. It wasn't filler after
it's
all.
It's not a jelly filler episode.
Jelly filler. Is that what we're going to call it from now on?
I love it.
Yeah, we'll lock it in. So, yes, you'll be shocked to hear that the Weeping Bell and just, I suppose, the whole line is based off pitcher plants and the carnivorous types, that is. So, like, you can kind of really see the similarity, really, with Weeping Bell, but, like, tracking on this one, it's meant to be, like, man-eaters, basically.
Yeah.
I like Weeping Bell. I don't know what it is. It's the dopey kind of, like, mouth is like, no.
Looks like a condom.
It does, yeah, in fairness.
Although with wings.
You really only want to make that mistake once, though, because if that evolves into Victor Bell midway, so you're in fucking trouble.
Just think of what Brock's done to those.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, he never does have a... I don't think he catches one of them, so...
Yeah.
For good reason, I suppose.
Yeah, yeah. They avoid him.
Yes.
Yeah.
They all keep running. They're running away. they've learned...
They've learned from the pseudo-wooda.
Yes. Tune in for the Foxy Bros podcast. You know what I mean by that. Next up on my list is Graveler. We met Geodude already. This is Rolly Boulder Boy as a
Knobbly Boulder Boy.
Is
it? Or is it Rolly Boulder Boy?
Knobbly Boulder Boy for this guy.
Yes. Yeah. So there's a little bit about him, but again, it's gonna be a shock. It's just a boulder.
Yeah.
And as we mentioned in a few podcasts earlier, like for some reason Graveler has four arms and then suddenly back Golem
back
suddenly
two
back
arms.
To two. Yeah. It's a very odd one.
And Golem has a snake face.
Yeah, like, it's odd, like, I don't know what they were going with. It just seemed like it was a rock for the fake sake of it.
Yeah, I feel like Graveler is a natural progression from Geodude.
Yeah.
But Golem was something else, in like, completely, that then they were like, oh shit, we've nothing, we'll just throw it in here.
Yeah.
Mm. Possibly, yeah.
Yeah.
I think, like, some of the trivia behind Graveler is that it might be a reference to a Japanese yokai. Called the Tsuchi Kurobi or Tumbling Monster, and this essentially is like someone that just rolls like a mass, like a sentient rock that rolls over travelers and crushes them.
Fun,
like in Zelda.
They were based on as well.
Okay.
So I think Graveler
and Bandicoot, the giant boulders.
Yeah, they weren't yokai; they were just boulders.
They were terrifying, though.
They were terrifying,
yeah.
I mean...
Great levels.
Yeah.
They were some of the best levels in the...
That's fair, yeah. They were good.
Someone should do a mod where, like, it's a Graveler.
Oh, lads, here. Right, you're writing this shit down. last but not least, then, is Cubone.
Oh.
Cubone is one of the adorable ones, isn't it?
Yeah.
So, in case, I'm sure you know already, but, like, Cubone's obviously the skull is supposed to be the mother's... like dead skull, basically.
Yeah,
quite morbid.
Cute.
It's still somehow adorable. I don't know how. Fun fact, though, its original name was Orphan.
Yeah, Orphan.
Yeah, which is it's bizarre. And apparently, it's one of the designer's favorite Pokemon, which I'm not really surprised by. Yeah, curious enough, like we kind of had this discussion about Cubone and like what it like its connection supposedly to Kangaskhan. Like, there is legs for this, isn't there?
There absolutely is. So, It looks like the baby that's in Kangaskhan's pouch.
Yes.
That would be number one. Another one, someone was able to decode the order of which they were added into, like what order Pokemon got entered into the Pokedex, not what one they show up in the end.
Yes.
But the order at, like, so the first one was Rhydon, the second one was Bellera. But Cubone, Marowak, and Kangaskhan were all put in at the same time.
Mm.
The skull kind of looks like a Kangaskhan skull.
Yeah.
And that was the theory for a good long while, until in Sun and Moon, they had a thing called SOS chaining, where if you beat something to within an inch of its life,
yes,
it calls out for help, and something else might show up to try to help it, and so you can kill it instead. Mm. And if you beat up enough Cubone, sometimes it'll call in a Kangaskhan.
Yes. I love that, because it's such a subtle reference to, like, this very strong urban myth that developed. And, like, there is...
It's such a nod.
It's a very good nod, but you can kind of tell, like... You know when, like, the designer and the fan are kind of on the same wavelength? Like, you do... The designer knows, like, the fan knows. So, I like it.
Fan service.
I would love for there to be, like, a hidden item that you give to Cubone.
And makes and it
turns it into a Kangaskhan.
That would be nice. That would be good, like...
Or something like you give Kangaskhan a skull to hold.
Yes.
And it breeds...
Or you had, like, a unique double team move between them. If you had, like, a Cubone and Kangaskhan, like, fighting together.
Bone meringue.
The bone meringue and, like, Kangaskhan grabs the bone or something like that. Yeah, that'd be nice. As you can see, like, the original, like, concept cards for, like, the Pocket Monsters... you can kind of see that, like, the head is, like, it does look like Kangaskhan.
It really does.
The head is the same, like. It's like
Cubone. Or Charizard.
Charizard, you can make that argument, I think. But even then, like, it's like the, obviously, like, we know about Charizard, like, that's established.
Yeah.
You know. But I find it funny that, like, it hasn't actually been, like, retconned in that way. They just roll with it. Because, like, with the ground type and the Kangaskhan being by its own kind of, like, beast in a sense.
Yeah.
You know, it is kind of one of those weird what-ifs, like, if they ever did go through it. But, yeah.
Can it show how dark the first game actually was, and they've pulled it back so much since then?
Very much so, yeah. Cubone's supposed to be, like, the shape, design-wise, supposed to be, like, a kind of like a baby dinosaur.
Yeah.
Which, again, would you argue that kind of favours the Kangaskhan idea? Considering, like, Kangaskhan's more of a marsupial.
But they're
it's marsupial. You've got the marsupial link, and then the bone meringue. And, like, you've got boomerangs as being...
Australian
things, and marsupials being pretty much... All bar one marsupial is based in Australia.
Yes.
So, yeah, I'm totally on board with that.
Yeah, I think so. I think everyone kind of agrees with that potential theory. Like, and I wouldn't even say it's a theory. It's just something that should have happened, practically.
Yep.
So, yeah.
If we're looking at this as from a biological, anthropological...
Yeah,
like, that's going to... You know, it could be a separate line coming from the same descendant. Like, they're all descendants of the same lineage sort of a thing.
Yes. Exactly. Like, if you kind of like how, like, they had, like, a split, like, evolution for male and female. So, like, the male would be Marowak, but the female became Kangaskhan or something along those lines.
That would make a lot more sense.
Yes.
That's a great shout,
Yeah. Well, they have it.
It's also a terrible shout, like, every Kangaskhan dies in childbirth then.
Some do, and some of the Cubones just can't get over it.
Yeah.
If it's a healthy child, that they grow up to be Marowak, big, strong boys...
You don't need egg hair. Sorry, your Kangaskhan died in childbirth.
Yes.
Here's a Cubone egg.
Well done, I guess. It's a bit morbid, isn't it?
Yeah.
So yeah.
On that note,
our Pokédex count is 29 and we're still caught 5. But don't worry, guys.
Oh, that's going to ramp up in the next series.
Ooh, lordy, yes, indeed.
Ramp up like the coronavirus.
Oh. Oh, wow. Well, thanks for bringing us back into reality, James. Holy shit. I see your fucking hour number has multiplied since this podcast started. So, anyway, thanks for listening to this deluxe version of the Jenny Killer Donuts. As you realise how long we've been talking.
Oh, wow.
Tune in for the next episode. We'll try and keep it on track this time.
Yeah.
Keep it to the episode, maybe.
Oh, yeah. It's a good episode, so we'll be happy to talk about it.
Yes, exactly. I sincerely hope you have more material for filler, because if this is where we're going to go, we're going to be here a long fucking time. So, Thanks for listening. Check us out on the Low Blows Network. Check us out on Nerds R Us and Monday Madness. Until next week, lads, I've been Jonathan, James, Burkba, and we'll see you next time.
Woo!
Bye.